If you don't know how to pronounce a word, you can always look it up in the dictionary. There, right between the correct spelling and the definition, are slash marks, spaces dividing the word into syllables, or syllables if you prefer, an apostrophe or two for stress. But how would you quickly, comfortably, actually say foraminifer, for example, or peroration? But now dictionaries can talk. This past week, Merriam-Webster put the audio contents of its CD-ROM dictionary online. Mike Guzzi oversaw the transition, and he joins us from member station WNPR in Hartford. Mr. Guzzi, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, how many words are pronounced as opposed to how many words are in the dictionary?
We have approximately 105,000 pronunciations that are used and approximately 215,000 entries in the dictionary.
Why are some words not pronounced?
There are no words that aren't pronounced for any philosophical reasons. There are some words, for instance, an open compound, what we call an open compound, like red herring, where the word red is pronounced at its own entry and the word herring is pronounced at its own entry.
I see. Yeah.
Terms like that aren't pronounced.
Who did all the pronouncing for you? Whose voices are those?
We hired four actors originally to do the pronunciations. We called them our speakers. And they were given a list of words to pronounce, and they were also given a transcription, a pronunciation transcription, a symbol system that they could use mm-hmm. to more quickly and more readily understand exactly how the word is supposed to be pronounced. And they did the pronunciations from that script.
Mm-hmm. We logged in a few minutes ago, and let's share a couple while we're talking about the people who did the pronunciation.
Either, either.
Tomato.
Tomato.
Peroration.
Conundrum.
It's interesting because you'll notice that when you listen to some of the pronunciations, the actors will tackle a pronunciation of a certain word a certain way, like they'll have a certain inflection in their voice, because if you don't have some kind of inflection in your voice, it just doesn't sound human. It sounds like you have a I'm not trying to be funny, but it sounds like you have a computer speaking to you. And so it was interesting to hear the inflections that they would choose to attach to a different word. We have a pronunciation editor on staff who spends a lot of his time actually listening to radio shows, to TV shows. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he'll be making citations, and he might even hear something on the news while he's eating his dinner, and it'll sound a certain way, and he'll note, you know, exactly what it sounded like to him and where he heard it and when mm-hmm. he heard it, that kind of thing, and make a record of it.
So in the end, it's the usage we people apply in our everyday language that determines the selections you make.
That's exactly right, yes. It's how we approach just about every element of information that goes into our dictionary. It's all based on usage.
I must tell you, Mr. Guzzi, we were not surprised to discover two pronunciations for a word we commonly pronounce potato. Mm-hmm. We were surprised to discover what the second pronunciation was, and mm-hmm. let's just play them.
Potato. Potato.
Potato? I mean, not like I haven't pronounced it that way, but when did potato right. become an acceptable pronunciation for potato?
Well, it's all based on usage evidence. So if we have very little or no usage evidence that people actually use the word potato apart from the song, then that would be why that didn't make it in. But tomato, although it's also in the song, mm-hmm. is in there. And so it may simply be that people do actually say tomato, but they don't actually say potato.
Potato, potato, tomato.
Tomato.
Potato.
Tomato.
Potato.
Mr. Guzzi, I want to thank you very much for speaking with us.
And thank you.
Mike Guzzi with Merriam-Webster Dictionaries.
Oh, so if you like-